Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hiya, I'm Odin Loding from Hers.
I'm Stephen Fitzpatrick from Hers.
You're a pop duo. Haha, we'll get to that. There's Norway and there's Barrow in Furness. Is it Furness or Furness? Did I do it right? Furness. I know, yeah, the Beatles are in there somewhere because they're everywhere. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with Barrow. Where am I? Where is it? How many times do you get asked this?
Okay, so you're in the Lake District of the far northwest of England, in Cumbria. It's like an hour and a half drive from Liverpool, but if you get the train, it's going to take 3 hours because there's no direct trains.
When you were a kid, do you hop on that train and go to lots of concerts in Liverpool? I mean, London is really far.
Yeah, London's super far from Barrow, but no, I mean, it was all about the local gig scene, I guess, in Barrow. There's a very specific kind of thing going on in Barrow with the music there. It's all, it's pretty obscure.
And so the story goes that you met over a love of the other big Liverpudlian band, but all kidding aside, from Norway to where you are now, how did that trajectory happen?
There was a need for escape from Norway. I do love Norway, but I was
pretty... But those nights that never end.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like you're in the deep freezing snow and like it's like in the sticks, you know, you're like ready for like some city life. So
how did that happen? Did your parents just basically throw you out of the house and say, get out of here?
You know, yeah, you finish college and, you know, you gotta move on with your life, don't you?
Okay, so let's do that because that's right in the middle here and it is important. There are like three types of bands. Those that are very, very proud of the fact that they never made it to uni, that they barely made it out of middle school, right? Yeah, yeah. And then there are the ones that wear the college proudly and they say, well, I majored in psychology, so I decided I'd be in a band.
Yeah.
And then the third is, oh, we dropped out because we just, you know, we just didn't, and we're in a band. So you opened the door. Let's talk about college. You obviously graduated college. What were you going to be? Or did you go to college for music?
I think we're the fourth kind.
Yeah.
Fourth kind.
So the fourth kind is we went to music college, which, music university, which we're pretty we're happy about. We're glad we did it.
I wouldn't have met you if I didn't.
So you both went to the same music university?
In Liverpool. But we don't exactly mention it that often, do we?
I think there's a bigger question, which is you don't get asked it that often.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the coolest thing to go to music uni, is it?
Well, you know what? It depends. I mean, because, you know, the Beatles, those guys, you know, they went to art school, right?
Oh, street cred cool, I guess.
People seem to think there's like a lack of authenticity when you do that kind of thing. Which is lame. Like,
you learn music theory and oh my gosh, you know what you're talking about?
I mean, we don't know what we're talking about after going anyways, but like, I think it's, for us, it was that kind of opportunity to get out of two coastal towns that weren't going to give us like any kind of insight to the industry. So
far, when I'm reading about you, there's a lot of humor and observations and the bonding thing.
I don't know. Like, it's just natural because, like, the chemistry between us, I think, yeah. Like, we're the band came from just hanging out late one night and, like, starting playing, like, a year in after knowing each other. Like, we just, like, I guess we'll play something tonight.
Okay, so there's a long trajectory between playing and hanging out in the pub, doing a couple of bar nights, and then... Oh, wait a minute, we're now signed with management, we've got Heister Hit, you know, they're probably doing all sorts of other licensing deals, you know, tons of stuff. So let's talk business for a second. There's always that, I'll do it in the full announcer voice, and I'll pull them, we went from the bar band to, oh, wait a minute, now we're touring, now we have a real label deal, now we have a record coming out.
That snowballed really quick. It's like we're on this train, this steam train with no brakes on it at this point feels like, which is like exactly what you want, isn't it? But it's all
been really organic though at the same time. Like, we kind of just bumped into these guys in a way, like, and like
they do that. They have a habit, particularly Heister Hit, they have a habit of showing up in a pub and bumping into you and starting a fight. It's not good.
I remember running into Mick, and I remember getting like right after this little warm-up we did for the Shark in Manchester. And it was like this label guy, and I was like grabbing Steve. I was like, that guy's from the label, man. Come on. Whoa.
Did you know what a label guy looked like? Did you really think he looked like a label? Sorry, Mick. Yeah. Did you really think he looked like a label guy?
He's got that swanky leather hat, though. I was like, that's a bit of a tip-off.
Yeah. So he runs into you. He says, I like you. From there to signing on the dotted line, did you talk to anybody else? Or did you just say, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. And for reasons unknown, I trust this guy.
Oh, we kind of did that, didn't we?
We ran the contract past our tutors in uni, and they were like, this is a very, very good contract, so you should definitely do it.
It was like an underlying feeling of like the love for music happening, which is like so like comforting. Like, you feel well taken care of, like, from the get-go. Like, we had a manager at a time, and... like, it was a...
Was this like a friend manager? Was this like a franager?
Yeah, the franager. And like, we love him dearly. He got us started, for real. But he had a couple talks with them and everything. Like, just from that, we had a feeling that they were very, like, interested and invested in the project. And they would, like, they'd show up to our gigs. Like, they were chasing us a little bit.
So you get signed by the label. You obviously had some things, but how much did you have recorded at that point?
At being signed, we had nothing recorded. We had a live session online done with some friends of our franager, and that went really well. Like, it just picked up a lot of steam, and like, apparently the drummer from Horse Beach, another Manchester band, showed it to the label, and like, that's how we got signed first. And then we sped up the recording process from there,
Okay, you ready? Here we go. I'm going to go down a lot of roads just like this. 50s doo-wop, Mac DeMarco. Right, exactly. So you know where I'm going. All of this genreization is the term that I use, right? You know, I'm starting to read the articles, and it's fairly new. So that's good. Isn't it just about the songs and the melodies and the...
Our, like, generation love, like, subgenres and all kinds of... everything needs to be categorized. So, like, in a way, it's, like, helpful to have these things in terms of, like, selling yourself and stuff. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just kind of... it is what it is. I mean, we like to describe it in... all kinds of ways. Like, we say that we sound like Twin Peaks, which is like just an aesthetic.
You look a little like Laura Palmer.
Yeah. We like to think that there's like, it's not just like, it can be labeled in a ways other than just genre, you know what I mean? It's like, it's an experience. And
you draw inspiration from more than just other music, don't you? Like, we don't sit down and think we're going to write a Mac DeMarco song. Like, no one's ever... a lot of people probably done that, but we haven't done it anyway, feel like.
I haven't done that yet, but maybe I will someday. Let's talk producer, engineer, studio. Obviously, you went to school for this, but I imagine you got with the label and they said, you know who would be cool? Or...
so we got one guy, one big special guy in our life, called Sam, with S-A-A-M, Jafadaze. And he's a big, tall guy who, we latched onto him the minute we realized that he could make us sound really good.
He was chasing us for months while we were, like, pissing around with other people, but we got to him.
Yeah. And now he's our tour manager, driver, live sound engineer, and producer.
And he knows how to make you sound like you, which is interesting because a lot of bands, artists, don't know how to make themselves sound like them.
It's good having the guy who, like, knows what your guitar should sound like. You think you know, but then he's like, you actually want it like this. And you're like, you're right, dad. right, yeah. Uncle. I love you, man. It's kind of that kind of relationship with this guy. Yeah.
when you talk about it and you go, okay, this record, do you see this as a big record or do you see it as kind of, because, you know, a lot of bands come out of the gate with the big sound, right? And the reverbs up to, you know, and, you know, the Spinal Tap, right? Yeah. We turned it up to 11 or 12. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, we've always enjoyed being the smaller band. Like, if there's like a massive band playing before us, for example, we'd always enjoy being a bit like scrappy afterwards. You like try and thrive on that kind of an aesthetic.
So let's talk about the small setup. Is it just the two of you and tracks, or no tracks? See where I'm going here.
To an extent.
It used to be us two and a drum machine. Now it's us two and a Mac. But yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's the
extent. No intentions of adding Ringo.
Ringo. I mean, there's been a few potential Ringos on the way so far, but
I feel like we need just the two at the moment, yeah. And then we'll build on it. You know, like give yourself some headroom and leeway for the future, hopefully.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else in between.